Right, so for those of you who've been around EMF a while, there's been a few generations of this. So it started with orbs and then went on to Polycoin, and then Polygen is the latest version. So I'll kind of run through some of those as we go. But yeah, Ingress was my inspiration, and AMF, and then I thought I'd create something. So that was, and this is the series, the orbs game in 2018, then Polycoin 2022, and then from 2024 is Polygen. And there was some interesting things, as lessons learned as I went along the way. The first one was that just beeped and had some flashy lights, and nobody really knew what was going on with them, and it kind of worked, but the basis was there. And then, so in Polycoin, I made speakers and actually have it speak and make lots of flashy coloured lights that were more interesting. And then Polygen was the result of the cases for Polycoin melting, and so I left them in a tent in MCH, and when I came back, the rear side of most of the cases more resembled Pringles than that, unfortunately. So this is like one of the last surviving ones that's vaguely the right shape. But I learned a lot of lessons in 3D printing to do with this as well. So, but they look, I really like the look of these, but the things like the speaker on the back didn't work so well, because it would be sat up against things and then no one could hear what they were saying. So the speakers moved to the front in Polygen, and the overall design didn't use PLA, lesson learnt, and the new ones are imprinted mostly in polycarbonate and some in PETG. I was just experimenting with that. And the main thing as well is that they don't fall apart when you drop them, typically, unless the case actually breaks. These ones, the back would fly off, bits would come out everywhere. It wasn't pretty. There was a whole bunch of other things. I had introduced a new team as well, so we have four teams instead of three. And I won't bother explaining the whole game. Hopefully you've all played the game, so you've got an idea. But this was some of the interesting stuff I did with these cases. These were wonderful for the first time. Once you take them off, they don't go back on again so easily. So that was a lesson learned for keeping the backs on these. So the Polygen cases, and I'll go through it and show you how that works. But the main thing is I use Tinkercad, and I got myself a bamboo printer, which is how I was able to print polycarbonate. And that inspired Polygen. It's the same PCB. So I took the PCB out of this because I didn't want to iterate that, and put it into the new case, and rewrote some of the software around it. The main parts are that the PCB sits inside here. There's the NeoPixel LED sat at the front, and then all the way around the edge is the NeoPixels. The speaker sits here behind this, and then these catches here, they retain the base of this. So there is a safety screw that I've removed for speed. But to actually open the case up, you use magnets. So a magnet there and there, and it's actually 2p coins sat inside there. So when you open that up, I'll just unhook that, and you can see that the wonders of 2p coins holding it, they are magnetized by that, and they just hook onto these two bits here to keep them in place. And then you've got access to the PCB through there. So to remove this, the easiest way is to remove the catches entirely from the case. And then this piece will just rather difficultly slide off. So you can then see inside. So you've got the three cells, they're all in parallel, so it's a sort of 3.7 volt. You've got an MP3 player there that is just a DF Robot 299. It's got a micro SD card, and it plays the files through there. And then two different NeoPixel runs. And what it does is, a lot of the architecture of this is all about power management. I needed to keep the power usage low so it could run for a whole festival without me having to recharge anything, swap batteries out. So what it does is it actually powers down any LED strip. It's not actively driving, so it turns the power off to it via FET. And the I'm not going to pull this out because they're a pain to get back in. But I'll show you the underside of the board. So kind of talk you through it. You've got a PIC Micro. So it's a PIC Micro as the brains of the operation. And the reason it's there is because it's very low powered. It can go into a very low powered sleep mode and it just doesn't use much power. And it can wake up, turn on the RFID reader, see if there's a card there, then go back to sleep. And it can do the same with the LEDs. It can update the LEDs and then sleep. And what it does is when it needs to talk to the game server, it uses this, which is an ESP8285. Now, everyone goes 8266. No, 8285, it's like a tiny version of the 8266. And it's smaller, it's more reliable because it's all on die EEPROM. And then at the very bottom, you've got the power. So that's the power regulator, taking it from whatever the cells are giving out to 3.3 volts. And obviously the RFID reader, which is a terrible knockoff thing from sort of online from somewhere. And that's essentially all the components there. And to program it up, you've got a whole load of pads there. So I just put this pogo pin. So it's got pogo pins on one side and I can just hold that on there and program up the different components of the board using that. So it's a nice way to just not have to solder extra connectors on and worry about them. This is always the challenge when you're making something like this. You're being pulled in so many different directions. You want to make it secure. You've only got a limited amount of time and you've got a limited budget and you need the power to work as well. So all of those things, it's a compromise. So a lot of this stuff is all about power, all about keeping the component cost down so I could afford to make 36 of them as I did. So there's definitely some challenges with that. I've talked you through this already, so I'll skip that. Did it in KiCad. The schematics are online if you want to have a look. And it's running MicroPython on the ESP, and it's running something called PIC Basic on the PIC Micro. But I hit the hardware quite hard. So a lot of what the PIC Micro does is interrupt driven. So if you've done microcontroller development, it effectively can do lots of things simultaneously because it only needs to go and do it when it gets told something's ready to receive the next byte. So it can actually natively drive the pixel strips, talk to both modules all simultaneously, and it doesn't need to be particularly high powered. However, I did hit one problem, which is at the end of last camp, I ran out of ROM space in the PIC Micro. I literally had no more space because the PIC Micros were at the height of the component shortage, so I just had to get whatever I could lay my hands on, and I ran out of space. So actually what's changed is that it's an entirely different PIC Micro, different architecture, and I had to rewrite a load of stuff to make it work, but couldn't add any features yet. But it's now got loads of ROM space, so next time I've got the opportunity to add something. I showed you that one. And obviously, you know, we've got the hidden features, which hopefully some of you saw, which the EMF cam bonus. If you came back from last time, you'd have got a bonus. There's a command mode, which this will boot up. I'll talk about other things. If you used a payment card, you probably got something along the lines of Visa debit card accepted, authorizing donation to Polybius Biotech, please wait. Just kidding. So a number of those, and I will report how many people used a payment card of some sort or other during the event. The capture the flag, you can ignore. This is the wrong presentation for that. It wasn't active this year. And hopefully you saw the scoreboard that was up in Null Sector. Now, I haven't really gone too much into sort of how things communicate. Oh, there we go. I can do this now. This is the command mode. So, assuming this.
Command mode.
There we go. So this is how I program it up.
Battery voltage.
And so I can go through.
Power off.
So that's how I turn it off, is that, using the control token. And the way I load config in is actually save it onto an RFID card so I can program it with new Wi-Fi details. So if I need to change sort of what server it's talking to, what the Wi-Fi SSID is, then I can just upload it into there and it will save it, and I don't have to open the case up to reprogram it, which was a big problem with the Orbs game because I had to do that
a lot.
The way this all communicates is over MQTT. So there's a Raspberry Pi that's running Mosquito and has a Python client to the Mosquito broker, and then these all sort of send messages back to the game server via MQTT, and it responds with messages. The messages are all signed, so there's secrets known by both parties that's unique to each device. So the game server knows how to. It's not encrypted. The messages are clear text, but what it does is it calculates a hash with some stuff that is not in the message that it knows to add back in. So that way, the messages effectively are authenticated to a degree, and if somebody starts sticking stuff into the MQTT broker that it shouldn't, then I'll get lots of alerts that somebody's playing games with it. But yeah, most of it is simple MQTT. This scoreboard is written using Pygame, and it uses again MQTT. If you connect to mqtt.gen.polyb.io, you will get the scoreboard feed. So anything displayed on here, you'll have full visibility of, and actually you can see a little bit more, like if you're trying to find some of the units, and you can see all of the names of all the units on there, where they might not appear anywhere else. So those if you want to, it's quite interesting, some people have hooked onto the MQTT feed and made the lights of their villages change to the color of the polygen unit in their village. So and there's been some excellent like little hacks I've seen. There was somebody created an entire web page that monitored it, and so he could see exactly which units had changed teams, so he could go take them. Actually, he didn't go it. He sent his girlfriend to go take them. There's the game's website where you can set your player name. So this this is using a thing called Metabase to draw the team's scores, and your individual things. This is all JavaScript, and it talks over WebSockets on MQTT to communicate setting your player name. And you'll have hopefully you've seen what random name the game assigned to you. It's going to be some either obscure or not so obscure sci-fi character name. And they appear in square brackets if they're defaulted. So these are all of the different things used in making this game. And a couple of bits broke this time, unfortunately, because my game server lost its storage. It would boot up and then say, I haven't got a disk anymore, and then would not reboot. So I had to rebuild it, which meant that my pushover notification stopped working. But everything else is pretty much there, exactly as I described. One of the hacks. So this was at Fried Camp. And this 12-year-old kid, he went round the camp and he got himself an Arduino, got himself a servo and some batteries, and programmed it up so every 30 seconds he would just drop his card down in front of the reader. Love that. That was brilliant. That's the core of it. But then I'm kind of assuming that people might have some questions. And want to actually have a look in these units and see some of them. So I'll say, let's do a couple of questions, and then maybe I could just pass this around to people and you can have a look. Questions.
You mentioned signing then, but do you have any issues with rogue terminals showing up?
No, because they have to be registered at both sides. So if it started receiving messages from a unit it doesn't recognise, it won't respond to it. So yeah, it's shouldn't be a problem. Yeah, so I don't think I've got a link on the presentation, but if you go to go to that website, it's on the back of every unit, then there's all the sort of very rough notes and a link to the GitHub that's got a lot of the stuff on it. A lot of that stuff needs updating a little bit because of the new PIG micro and so on, so I've got to update it with that source code. But yeah, I mean, my case design was not based on need rather than anything else. So I had to, I was because I didn't want to change the PCB. I designed the case around the site of the PCB that I'd made, which has issues. So I've kind of got to rethink some of that. So if I do another version, then I'd be designing both with both in mind. Some of the things I've done there, like I've deliberately tried to make it as rainproof as possible. It's not perfect, but it's pretty good. You may notice there's a drainage hole at the bottom. So, and the speaker's waterproof, and the and there's still things like when I designed the PCB, I didn't present out all of the I/O pins that I could have done, and I kind of regret not just having an empty header of I/O pins, so I could have added something extra, things like that. So there's little bits that I would do, but mostly it's all about redesigning the whole thing as more of a cohesive single product instead of one where I've had to. But part of the reason for the exact size is because they fit perfectly into a really useful box. So, yeah. Right now, quite a long time, yeah. So what happens if they check in about every 3 minutes, roughly, and if the game server doesn't see them for about sort of 10-15 minutes, then it boots the unit off. So it basically clears who owns it and says, you no longer own this unit. So what you'll see is when the Wi-Fi goes down and then comes back up, if it's been long enough, then all the units will turn white. Because when they next check in, they go, I'm not owned by anyone. So they'll flick to white because the game server's decided they're not participating. No, it's all done online, so they have to have line of sight of the game server. So it sends a message to the game server via MQTT, and the game server will look up and tell it this player card you just gave me is on this team, and it will then go, okay, I've now been captured by this, and cool. Wi-Fi is back. Yeah. Hey. Okay. So that's the Orbs game. That was the very first version of this, and that one would have had an RFID reader, but all the ones from there are now in the Polygen units because they still worked. So. Sorry. About the players.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been some brilliant stuff over the years I've run this. So I think you sometimes see people who set their alarm clocks for funny times to get up and then do a circuit and then go back to bed for a few hours and then do another circuit. We've had sticker campaigns. So one particular team started leaving nasty stickers about the other team, like this other team farts a lot and things like that. So we had some friendly rivalry that was quite amusing, there was a one particular event. Two kids actually had a fight over it, which didn't go well for the kid who started the fight because the other kid was friends with one of the security guards. So he just did the circuit all night, keeping it. So his team won. So it's kind of interesting the interactions you get, and there's sometimes you see players and all they seem to do is be moving between units, and it's not always the most efficient way of winning the game. Sometimes it is, but it's yeah. So.
Is there like a theoretical ceiling for the number of devices or players?
The number of players kind of is a factor of the you need enough units to make it playable as you bring more players in. So the reason why I ended up with 36 units is because I was going to a bigger event with more players. So I needed to upscale. And then I don't think there's a massive limitation because they're not heavy duty. If you think about it, they're only when somebody taps their card is it talking to the game server. So the workload on the game server is fairly light. It's more down to sort of running the other systems like the scoreboard and generating all of that. So I actually put that on a different Raspberry Pi. So the main one's a Raspberry Pi that runs just the game, and then a separate Raspberry Pi just to run the scoreboard, to kind of keep it as separate as possible. So the Polybius Biotech branding,
yeah. That
was something invented by the Null Sector team. And when I'd done Orbs, that was it located in Null Sector. And then they when we're coming back in 2022, they were like, well, we're doing this Null Sector Polybius Biotech theme. Do you want to be part of it? And I was like, yeah, I can do that. So that's how we ended up with the branding kind of brought in, and they quite like the idea of taking Null Sector and bringing it across the whole site. So there's not a huge amount of tie up, just the branding is there to kind of keep it all linked. Yeah, so keep in mind 2022 Laura modules were what, 15-20 quid each, which when you multiply that by 30 something, the cost grows. So like you add a £1 part, then now multiply that by 36, it's not viable. So I had to keep my unit cost down. So Laura was definitely not on the table cost wise when I first looked at this. Now they're down to what, £3.50 or something, I think. So it's now getting the realms of financially viable. Then now the challenge would be, how do you do it with the power management? Because if you stick a 60 milliamp constant draw for running the LoRa module in receive mode the whole time, you've now got a power challenge. So it's something I'm thinking about. I'd love to do how I can make it function as part of the game within the constraints of LoRa, not basically completely blitzing the bandwidth available in LoRa. I've got to figure those things out. So, yeah. Depends on the number of captures. So the number of interactions. So when I did, the busiest event I did was 39C3, and one unit ran out of battery during that whole event. And that was a unit that everybody registered at pretty much, because it was right by where the tokens were. So that the registration process is the absolute killer when it comes to the battery life, because all the lights are flashing and it's talking the whole time. And even that, with those three batteries, I just had to do one change, and that was after I think sort of 2 or 3 days. Everything else lasted the whole event. So yeah, they can easily run for 4 days in typical use.
Did you get a notification if the battery fails, as opposed to if they just drop off the network?
Yeah, so if they drop off the network, the notification is, I haven't seen this unit for a while. But they all report in battery status as part of their check-in, and what they will do is, when it drops below a certain threshold, I get battery is low. And then if it drops below the next threshold, I'll get, I'm turning myself off, my battery is now too low. So that it does those thresholds. And I publish, if you go on the website, you can see the voltage history for all the previous events across the battery cells, so you can see what they've been doing. Yeah, so the units themselves have no concept of what volume they should be at, other than when they check in, they get a config from the game server. So every time they're polling in to say, I'm here, this is my voltage, they'll be told, right, you're now volume such and such. Even if it's the same volume, it just tells it every time. And so when it looks on the schedule and goes, oh, it's after 11 p.m, we're going to lower your volume. And I can dial individual units up and down as well. They've all got their own unique config. So I can make one unit much quieter. Yeah, you can dial it up and down and make it really flexible. And I've only had one request to dial down so far. So,
what was the URL for the scores?
So the map, there's not a map online. There's a screen in the Null Sector that you can see that on. Although the map is not up at the moment. It's, the screen's up, the scoreboard's up, but the map isn't. I spent my time rebuilding the server rather than doing the map. So, yeah. Anybody else? Right.
Did you get the Stolen Watch from
Cheltenham? No, that is still missing. And there is a dead database entry, number 9, rest in peace. I can see its last check-in date was 2024. So, yeah.
Is that connected to a network within Contact Your Game server? Can it come across WAN?
Yeah, good, good. While the event's running, I mean, when the event's not running, the game server's not online, so... Yes. Yeah.
So
have
to be. House,
yeah. EMF 2024-open, I think, is the SSID. So. It's mqtt.gen.polyb.io. Cool. Now you will probably all want the unique capture if the system's up and running. There we go. I should have put that up a while ago. Got all my details. So what we'll do, we'll get that online, and then you can all capture it and get your unique capture that only people here can get. Assuming that's it for everyone. Questions? Cool. Amazing.